So as you probably know, because I have mentioned it over the last few weeks, Rachel and I, we've celebrated 5 years of marriage. Our anniversary was just last month. And last time I mentioned that from the pulpit, actually, was when I mentioned that Rachel went through dental surgery 2 days before our anniversary. So she was in bed and couldn't really do anything on her anniversary. So happy 5 years, babe. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I joked that we didn't do anything, but we did. We went out a week or so later when she was feeling up for it and could actually eat again. So we went out to supper and yeah, had a nice time celebrating our marriage. And as we looked back over the last 5 years that we've had together, we just kind of, you know, remembered what things were like in the very beginning, you know, when we had first gotten married, and we were young. We were 19 and 20 years old when we got married. Everybody who was our friend or family thought we were crazy, but we were in love and we wanted to be married. And so we were young. We were in a different season of life. We lived in Windsor, Ontario. That's where we're from. And I was working in a factory, complete opposite of ministry, what I do now. And it was, I'm sure many of you would know what kind of an environment that would be, but it was good, you know. It was good. It paid the bills. It bought us our first house and paid for our wedding, and it was a good job, and we were thankful for that. Rachel was attending college when we had first gotten married. It was about a year and a half or so that before she finished college, and we went out with our friends all the time, and things were just completely different, you know. We traveled a lot and enjoyed that, and looking at our lives today, I think every single one of those things have changed, right? Today we live in a completely different province, one that we had never even visited, let alone considered moving to, and God had led us here. I'm working in ministry, completely new type of work and calling in my life at this time, working in ministry. And we have, as you probably know, two children, a three-year-old and a four-month-old, and that brings a new season of life, as many of you would know. Yeah, she's going to be three next month, and so those are fun days, eh? Our daily routine is different. How we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we spend our energy, everything has changed. Everything has changed, and it's actually quite amazing to see the difference between the beginning and only. I mean, I know we're only 5 years in, but things are changing fast. And as we celebrated 5 years, we recognize the fact that we're in a completely new season in our lives. And today, I want to talk about a biblical principle, okay? And this principle is one that we can't change, we cannot avoid, we cannot, you know, run away from it. It's going to happen no matter whether we believe in it or not, no matter whether we choose to follow it or not. It's a natural thing that happens, and that is that life comes in seasons, and those seasons will change, right? Life comes in many seasons, and in Genesis 8:28, it says, as long as the earth exists, planting and harvesting, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never stop, right? Just as God had created the seasons of weather and seasons of time on earth, he has also created seasons of human activity and human life. And with each season comes different changes in our lives, and whether they're relational changes, whether they're physical changes to our bodies or spiritual changes, right? Emotional, financial. There's so many different changes that happen in life. Because life is moving. Life moves. And as much as sometimes we just like to stay put sometimes and just camp out in a season that is really good or is really comfortable, nothing will last forever. We're all getting older with each day that passes. Our kids, whether we like it or not, eventually will grow up and become adults themselves. Our finances will change, whether that's negative or positive. Our bodies change. Our houses that we work so hard for eventually will need work and repair and will fall apart. And cars won't last forever. And things that we do, life is just constantly changing. Nothing actually will stand the test of time and last forever. And just as different seasons and weather are important for life to continue and for, you know, our world to function the way it needs to, our own seasons of life are necessary for us to continue to move and continue to function the way that we were made to function. And depending on what we do with each season as it comes and as it goes, we can make the most of the season that we are in, and we can see the benefit of that, or we can throw it away and fail to recognize what season we're in and waste it. So today I want to share with you three different truths about seasons of life and hopefully help you to try to identify or maybe even think about what season might I be in my life and maybe what is the purpose of that season? What should I be doing with the season I'm in life right now? So the first thing I want to share with you today is that this, whatever season of life we are in, it is, number one, it is beyond our control. Okay, the season of life that you are currently in today is beyond your control. And now, you might be thinking, well, you know, I make my own decisions, right? Which is very true. I mean, we can maybe try to control the season as much as we think we can. We can choose whether or not we're going to marry somebody or who that person will be, right? That will affect the season of life. We can choose whether or not we're going to have kids at this time or how many kids we would like, and these are all decisions that we try to make and try to control. We can try to choose where we're going to move, what city we're going to move to, what province. We did not choose, but God called us here. We love it here. What job we're going to work, what kind of career you're going to have. These are all things that we're told are choices that we make. And as much as it is a choice and a decision that we make, oftentimes things don't work out the way we plan for them to work out, do they? No matter how much we try to be intentional about what direction we're going to take our lives and what we're going to do with them, a lot of times when we look back, the journey we traveled does not look the way we thought it would. Truth is, you only actually have control over 50% of your marriage, right? The other half is up to your spouse and how they choose to invest in your marriage and handle your marriage. You can put as much as you want into it, but if the other person's not willing, things will be difficult. You might not be in the season of your marriage you thought you would want to be in. And you may decide that you want to have children or you don't want to have children, and sometimes that doesn't work out the way expected either. Some people try for months and years, and even then sometimes it doesn't happen, right? You might decide that you want to move where you want to move, but those things are all conditional. I mean, if you want to move to a new place, you have to find a job there, and you have to be able to sustain yourself and you know, provide for yourself there. And a lot of times those things might not work out the way you thought it would. You might try for months to land that dream job of yours, the one that you dreamed about as a kid. I dreamed about being a bus driver, and that clearly did not work out. Well, I drive the van sometimes, so that's that's like childhood dreams right there coming true. That's funny. You might try so hard to land that dream job you always dreamed of as a kid, and you know, you maybe sometimes you don't make it in school and you're not educated to actually get that job and be credentialed for it. Or sometimes you might try so hard and you might be qualified for it, but somebody else gets the break, and somebody else gets the job, and you're left doing something you didn't think you'd be doing in your life. Point being, life doesn't always unravel the way that we expected or planned for it to be, no matter how hard we try. Things will happen unexpectedly, and before you know it, everything's changed, and you're in a new season of life, often a season that you don't expect or think would be exactly the way it is, right? We know that in Daniel 2, verse 21, it says that he changes the times and the seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Now, many of you know this morning, nothing just comes by chance. Nothing just happens for the way, you know, just to happen, that God is in control. As we prayed earlier, God is in control. And whether we pray it or not, he is reigning as the king over creation. He is in control of the season of life that you are in. And maybe you're in a season of life right now you didn't expect, right? Maybe you're in a season of trial right now. There's a physical illness going on in your life, one that you didn't ask for or expect to happen. And that has put you into a season of your life where you are being tried and tested harder, and it's more difficult than you'd ever experienced. That's not in your control. Maybe you're in a season where you're an empty nester. Your kids, you've invested so much in them over the years, and they've grown up, and they've moved out, and they are starting lives of their own. And for some, that's a really difficult process of letting them go and kind of releasing them into their own lives. Maybe it's a season of trial in your family life. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one, something that is not in our control. And you're in a season of trial, you're in a season of grief in your life right now. Something beyond our control. Maybe you're in a season of waiting in your life, and you've just been at the same place for so long, just wondering, God, why am I in this season right now of my life? Why have you not helped me to move on into the things that you've promised for me to have and promised for me to do? Right? Maybe you haven't heard from God about a certain thing for quite a while, and you're just waiting and you're waiting and you're wondering, God, why am I still waiting for you to do this in my life? You're in a season of waiting. And you know, some seasons are very short in life. They come and they go before you know it, and you're in another one. And some seasons seem like they are just way too long. But this morning we know that it all happens in the Lord's timing and not ours. We can try to change seasons, but that just means we're living out our current season in the wrong application. And you know, I think to myself, the fact that God is in control of my season actually gives me peace and allows me to rest in the season, whether it's a good season or not. Knowing that God has brought me to this season and he is in control of it, I can worry and I can try and change it, and I can just stress out about the season, or I can just rest knowing that he's in control and I'm just exactly where he needs me to be. Right? The season of life that we are in is beyond our control. Point number two this morning, the seasons of life. There's good seasons and there's bad seasons, but every season has a purpose, right? Every season of life has a purpose, right? And maybe we're going through an incredible season in life right now. You know, maybe you're just living out just blessing after blessing after blessing from God, and you're in complete abundance in your life. Your life is just so full and so rich right now. You might be thinking, what could possibly go wrong? Things are just great right now. You're in a great season with your family. Your kids are all at great ages, or you're just brought into this great place where you have some great friends in your life that are really filling you up. You're doing well. You're finding success in your business and in your career, and your relationships are healthy and strong. Your marriage is on fire. Your relationship with God, he is just pouring into you in ways that you've never experienced before. You're hearing words from him. He's giving you gifts that you never thought you would experience in your life, and you're just in this incredible place of life. And that's great. That's a very good season. That's an incredible season. But sometimes there are not so incredible seasons in life. Maybe you're on the other side. You're in a very difficult season right now. Not sure how you're going to continue on and endure the season to the end. Maybe you're walking through a season of loss. You know, you're having difficulty at work or difficulty finding work. You know, finances are tighter than they've ever been. Your relationships are struggling. You're exhausted from chasing three young kids around all day, and you can't find anything good to watch on TV. It's just a season of difficulty. But we know that we will experience both. We're going to experience good seasons in life, and it's inevitable. We're going to experience the difficult ones. I'll tell you a little story. I've experienced both seasons financially in my life. I grew up in a family that we didn't have much money, but we had what we needed. And we could still do things like, you know, play hockey and baseball and go to school and do different things. And so I never really experienced, it was a nice, happy medium somewhere. And growing up, you know, as I shared earlier, when we were in our season of first being married, I worked in a factory. And for that time in my life, it was really good money. And I had a great paycheck every week. We had checks just lined up on the fridge. I wasn't even depositing them for a couple weeks because there was really no need. And I didn't make it to the bank yet. And so we were in this season where we just kind of experienced some financial goodness. And we invested and we did different things, you know, to, you know, steward that money properly. And then I was called into ministry, and it completely changed 180. That was a joke. Anyways, truth be told, it did flip. And there were certain things that were, like I said, beyond my control in my life that just changed. And eventually, we were in a very difficult position financially. And the bank accounts were empty and in max overdraft, and credit cards were maxed, and we had no cash available to us. And I remember one night after the youth group, and I was a youth pastor in Ontario. We just finished a youth night, and there were two students that I was driving home, but my car was on empty. Okay, I had no gas in the car, and I had my last $20 bill in my pocket. And I remember thinking, I have no gas, and I got to get these boys home, but this is my last $20. And so I put the gas in the car with the $20, and I drove away. And I remember thinking, if I needed $10 to save my life tonight, I'm not sure where I'd get it from. I've seen both sides. And sometimes seasons come and seasons go. Good seasons come. And we enjoy those, and difficult seasons come, and we try to endure those. There's a contrast in life, and we are going to experience both. If you turn with me to Ecclesiastes 3, you might know where I'm going with this. We're going to read the first few verses here. It says this, Ecclesiastes 3, it says, "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens," right? There's a season for everything under the heavens. The good and the bad will come. There's a time for it. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. There's a time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. That's a good one to put up in your garage, right? Every time you walk in there, you need to be reminded sometimes. There is a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak up. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So as we look at this passage, we see that life does come in contrast. There is one side of the spectrum as well as the other side of the spectrum. There's a balance between them both. You're going to experience the good seasons and the difficult ones. Both are necessary. God is at work in your life, in the good and in the difficult. And you know what? It's not as much about the season that you're in right now as much as it's about what you're doing in your season right now. It's not as much about trying to get out of the difficult seasons so that you can get into the good seasons to enjoy them. It's about what are you doing with your current season. Because as I mentioned earlier, we can really embrace them and use them for good things, whether it's good or difficult season. Or we can throw them away. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you trust that the season that God has brought you into today is the season that you need to be in right now? Do you trust that that is true? Because sometimes we think God may have made a mistake in our lives. Sometimes we might think that we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. God, did you fall asleep for a minute there? Like my life took a turn for the worst. Do you really trust that the season you're in today is the season that God needs you to be in? If you do, whether you're in a great season or the hardest season of your life, you're going to be at peace with that season. If you trust that this is where God wants me to be and needs me to be, whether you're in the hardest season or not, you're going to be at peace with that. It might be hard, it might be exhausting, it might bring you right down to your limits, but you're at peace with it, knowing that God has you exactly where you need to be right now, because you know there's a purpose in it. You know that this difficult season is going to bring glory to God in His name. You might be tired in your season today, but God is trying to teach you what it means to find true rest in Him. You might be strained financially in your season today, but God is trying to teach you how to be faithful stewards even when you have nothing left to give. You might be in a season today where you're not able to provide for yourself, but God is trying to teach you to depend on Him as your provider. You might be struggling in your health in your season today, but God might want to be showing you that He is the true healer. You might be in a season of waiting today, but God is preparing you for what is coming next. You might be in a season of loss, whether it's you lost a circle of friends or a job or your security, a loved one, but God might be stripping things away from your life to try and shape you and teach you and invest in you and build you up to be stronger. God is a redeemer, and He can redeem anyone in any situation. We were all sinners, and He sent His Son Jesus down to die on the cross to redeem us. We were lost, we were broken, and He made the impossible happen, and He redeemed us. He is a creative God. The Word says that He spoke everything into existence out of nothing. He created it out of nothing, simply spoke it into existence. He creates things. He redeems things. So I'm sure He can take your season and He can speak life into it and He can create something out of it and redeem it just as He's redeemed us. We don't always understand what God is doing, but we trust that it's for a reason and has a purpose. Romans 8:28 says that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Right? The scripture is one that I have to remind myself of sometimes, but truly understand what it's saying here. Because the scripture does not promise us that life is all good. All things in life are good. And that's not what it's saying, because not all things in life are good. There's a lot of things in life that are very far from good. But he says he can use anything for good. He can take the worst of the worst and the dirtiest of dirty, and he can make something good out of it. Nothing's impossible for our God, church. Give him your difficult season and let him use it for good. Let him use it for good. Maybe he's trying to teach you something that you're going to use in a future season, when maybe somebody's looking to you for encouragement and looking to you to help them with what they need to get through their difficult season. Maybe he's preparing you and equipping you to help someone down the road, right? Maybe he's building your testimony so that as you walk with him and trust him in those seasons, your life brings glory to God. I remember being in a season of waiting in my life. I felt the call to ministry, and I was doing Bible college online and doing the courses and just waiting and waiting and waiting. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm ready. Whenever you bring me somewhere, I'm ready. I'm waiting. I'm praying like crazy. Okay, Lord, I don't want to just jump at anything that comes at me. I know that I'm being called to this, so I want to just simply be obedient to you. And I remember being on my hands and knees saying, God, why haven't you given me this opportunity yet to start? I know that it's coming. I know you've called me to it. I'm preparing myself for it. And being frustrated that maybe it's not time yet. And I mean, I was even more frustrated when my friend, who is not called to ministry in any way, was given an opportunity to be in ministry. And I was like a little frustrated. I'm like, why didn't that come my way? And my first interview I ever had with a church, I thought, this is my break. This is it. I'm going to get in the ministry. It's not very far from home. This is awesome. I went and my wife and I, we interviewed with the lead pastor and his wife. And I remember he said a few things that really threw me off. And I'm like, okay. Then we did the interview, and it went okay. You know, we did well, but we just left not really feeling peaceful about it. And so we were told, okay, we're going to pray about it for a week or so, talk to the board, that kind of thing, and you'll hear back from us in a week. So a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, 2 months go by, 3 months go by, and not even a thank you for interviewing, like, no thank you. Like, it was just waiting. I'd sent emails and calls, not to, like, harass or anything, but just like, hey, like, just letting you know I'm still alive. Like, you know, I'm still here waiting. Waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and getting frustrated in the waiting. But you know what? There's a purpose in the waiting. And as much as I wanted to jump into the next season, I knew that things, I had to wait. Because just a little bit after that, a few months later, I got a chance to interview in a church, and I did get that job, and we just spent the last 3 years in that church, and it was incredible. And I knew that if I had jumped into the next season too early, I would have missed out on the things that God was going to do in our lives in that other church and what he had planned for us. We would have thrown it all away because we didn't want to wait. We didn't want to wait. God was preparing me. He was preparing my wife. And he was preparing the church that we were to go to, that we were called to go to. But we had to wait for it. There was purpose in the waiting. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 says that he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity into the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Sometimes we don't understand what God is up to in our lives, right? Try to understand it, what's going on currently, you know, and you might get frustrated just like I did. I didn't understand what God was doing when he set me up for this interview and I hadn't heard back and was waiting and being frustrated. I didn't see it. I didn't understand it. I could not fathom what God has been doing from beginning to end. Many times we might find ourselves in that same place. We don't understand the purpose of the season until the season is over. And we can look back on it and say, ah, that makes sense, God. I see what you did there. I understand now. And that's why it's important that we trust him. That's why it's important that we trust him in the current season. Because he's working beyond our understanding. He's working, it's not something that we can approve of, right? God's work is not something we approve of. It's something we trust in. It's not something that we go, I like that, but I don't like that. You know, I'll take that. Actually, I'll take two of those seasons, and I'll throw that one away, just kind of skip over it, rip that chapter out of the book. And, you know, we don't approve of the seasons as they come and they go. We just trust God in them, right? We don't know what the final picture is going to look like until the end, and we look back on the whole thing. If an artist is painting a picture, and about halfway through, we look at it and say, that doesn't make any sense. I have no idea what this person is doing. Oh, the picture is not finished yet. We just have to wait until every step is complete. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Until we see the final picture. And it is beautiful in its time. He's made everything beautiful in its time. We may not understand the season that we are in, but we are to trust that God has placed us in that season. And we're in that season for a greater purpose of our lives. The third and final thing that I want to talk about today is about seasons. That is that we reap in some seasons and we sow in others. We don't always reap and sow in the same season, which also causes frustration, right? What you sow in your current season, you may not see the harvest until long into the future, maybe 3 or 4 seasons from now. You don't see that harvest right away, right? Think about farming. Farmers, in the spring, they will prepare the ground, and then they will plant their seed, and then they wait. That's the springtime. Then they wait. They wait. The summer goes by. The end of the summer, harvest time. A couple seasons later, that's when they go and they harvest the crop. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not a, you know, farming's not like the microwave. It's not instant. It takes time for the seeds to grow into the crop that we are to harvest. And we can't harvest it too early because the crop hasn't grown to its full potential yet. And it won't even serve its purpose if it's not ready yet. Galatians 6:7, right, says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. And many of us know that to be true in our very lives and have seen it time and time and time again. The habits that you develop when you're young, they'll usually carry over into your adult life. It's a mistake that maybe some of us have made. As a young person, maybe in school, you procrastinated a lot, and you'd always put off your work, and you wouldn't really study, and you just kind of squeezed by. And how often does that person find themselves doing the same thing as an adult in their career? You know, maybe if you didn't have a good work ethic when you were young and establish that, it's harder as an adult to find that good work ethic and change that habit, right? If you carelessly spend your money in one season, you rack up credit card debt, you spend money that you don't have, you make purchases of cars and houses that, you know, is beyond your means, you travel, whatever you're spending your money on, you know, you just spend and spend and spend. Maybe in that season of spending, you're enjoying it, right? Just love driving that new Mercedes or whatever kind of car that you want to buy in that giant house, 5 bedrooms, and there's only 2 of you living in there. And like, yeah, I'm not like saying anything's wrong with that, but if you're spending beyond your means and you're being careless financially, you might not see the effects of that immediately. But one day, you're going to have to pay that money back. And you're going to find yourself in a really difficult situation, one that you might not be able to get yourself out of. Right? If you decide today, I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to become a runner. Right? I used to work out a lot. I don't as much anymore. I do want to get back into it. But I remember, you know, deciding, all right, I'm going to start running. I'm going to start going for bike rides. I'm going to work out with my buddy at the gym. Like, this is going to be good, okay? I went for my first run. I ran further than I ever thought I could, and it was exhausting. And then the next day, I go to the gym, and I lifted weights that I thought were way too light, but I'm like, I can't handle any more than that. And so I'm working out. I got in this great workout the first day, and I go home, and I looked in the mirror, and nothing changed. I'm like, this is flawed, okay? There's something wrong here. It should be easier than this, right? But how many know that it's not one workout that's going to change your health? It's not one run that's going to make you a marathon, you know, runner, I don't know, right? You got to do it over and over and over and over. And after a month, you start to see these little changes. Maybe you can run a little further without running out of breath or lift heavier weights, right? After 2 months, now you start to feel more energized and things start to change. You can breathe easier and you know, things start to change. You see physical changes after 6 months. After a year, 2 years, you have complete transformation. But it took hard work for 2 years to get to that place. We do not sow in one season and reap immediately. We will sow in one season and reap in another. The harvest. The way that you live in your current season is going to change the way that you experience your future seasons. Right? But we live in an instant society. Everything needs to be right here and right now. That can cause us to be quick to abandon the things that we're doing right now, the good seeds that we're planting. Sometimes we want to see good things come out of it. You know, I've been investing in this young person for months and months and years, and they still don't believe in God, or they still are acting a certain way. I don't understand, but, you know, we want things to be instant. And sometimes when they're not, we might be quick to abandon the good seeds we're planting. But Galatians 6:9, a couple verses later, says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do not give up, church. Do not grow weary in doing good in this season. Some of you have been trying very hard for a very long time, and you're feeling discouraged because you're not seeing results. And you're starting to wonder now, what is the point? Some of you have been praying, and you've been praying for a very long time. You've been praying for a loved one to come to Christ, and nothing is happening. You've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've been praying, and nothing is happening. But I want to encourage you, do not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. If you don't see results today, keep praying. If they don't come tomorrow, keep praying. You've been praying for healing in your life, whether it's a physical or emotional healing, but it seems like things just are in decline and are getting worse. Is it even working? Do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Do not give up. Some of you have been treating others with love and respect. Maybe at your workplace that you have done nothing besides respect your boss and do everything he or she has asked you to do. And you're trying your hardest for this person and you never get appreciation. They never recognize the hard work that you put in. And you feel like you're just used and abused in the workplace by your boss. So now you're starting to think, well, forget it. I'm going to stop working hard for you. I'm going to stop doing everything that you ask me to do, and I'm just going to do the bare minimum. Come in 5 minutes before my shift, do the least amount of work I can, and go home right at 4:30, clock out. I've seen it happen. But you know what? Do not become weary in doing good things, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if you do not give up, even if you're not appreciated for the good things that you're doing. Keep doing them. You might not be seeing the results of the investment that you are making in your current season, but continue to serve the Lord and continue to do good things, and you will see at the proper time the results of that investment. So I want to ask you a question in closing today. Think about it for a moment. What season do you find yourself in today? What kind of a season are you in? Maybe you're in a season of just abundance and things are good. You're comfortable. Things are very good and smooth and everything's the way it should be in your life. Maybe you're in a difficult season of waiting, season of loss. I'm not sure what season that you're in today. But think about the season that you're in. I want you to ask yourself the question, what am I doing with this season? Do I see the purpose in the season that I'm in right now? And chances are you might not, right? God is working beyond our understanding. You may not see the purpose of your season until it's over and you look back, you know, as we talked about before. Continue to invest in the season. Whether it's a good season or not, sow the seeds into your current season. For when you reach a new season in the future, you're going to see the results. You're going to see the harvest that you've been sowing into and investing into. Would you bow your heads with me today?